T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Thanks to Boomer Esiason for hopping on with us, as always. You know, two big stories this week will be the Super Bowl and the NBA trade deadline. And famously, or infamously, this is Rihanna. How about that?
Oh, yeah.
She's playing halftime of the Super Bowl.
Oh, that's a good choice.
You see those commercials during the NFC Championship game?
I did see some.
Yeah.
Did see some of the commercials. I want you to enjoy this moment of musical condescension you've got over me. It's thoroughly earned.
Yeah.
You reach up with the pool cue and move the little bead over on the ticker.
Yeah.
You got one.
Finally. You're like, Rihanna was an interesting choice to mention to Boomer Esiason, who's in Arizona, the site of the Super Bowl, only the biggest concert of the year. Yeah. Who's doing? Oh, Rihanna.
Mm-hmm. She hasn't performed live in 5 years.
Is that true?
Someone as massive as her, she's been off the grid for 5 years.
Couple of kids in there?
One, I think.
One?
Yeah, just recently, like a year ago.
Yeah.
One's good. One's a good place to stop, in my opinion.
Yeah. Two is great. I look forward to sleeping again two presidential news cycles from now. Election cycles. But anyway, so anyone on the Bulls beat will tell you that Arturis Karnišević is very tight-lipped. He is not a guy who leaks stuff to the media.
Yeah, he flat-out says it. I heard Casey Johnson the other day say that most of my a lot of my Bulls info is coming from executives with other teams because these guys don't talk to us.
Right.
It's fascinating.
And so that makes their jobs tougher, but Casey's been covering the league for 2.5 decades or whatever it's been. So, I mean, he can work around it, but it's interesting to me. So then it's rumor season, right? I don't want to go too hard in any direction on this, but like when you see that the Bulls are kicking the tires on Kyrie.
Yeah, the Bulls thrown in by Mark Spears on a list.
Yeah, right? And then you see Sam Amico, A-M-I-C-O, right? Talk about like Mike Conley or Terry Rozier. Like, well, that's interesting. Like, those would be buys at the trade deadline.
Mm-hmm.
And you see them linked to, you know, that center from the Pelicans, Hernan Gomez. These little ads. But then it's like, oh, they're also shopping Andre Drummond, or oh, they're also listening to Caruso trade deals, but they'd have to be blown away.
See, that's where I'm wondering if what we're hearing and you're perceiving, we're all kind of perceiving as buying, is really them just kind of having conversations about sort of halfway. Like, if you trade Drummond for somebody like that, for, you know, it's not a full buy or sell.
But that's kind of my point. Like, I'm not seeing anything on trading DeRozan.
No.
Or trading Vooch. Which would be sells. But I'm seeing some on buys. Kyrie would have been a huge buy if you put any stock into that or not. And then small sells like a Drummond or Caruso's a sale, but you'd be at least selling high on his value if you're really going to ask for King. My point is, like, if they actually add to this thing, I'll be furious. I don't see the argument for it. Like, I, I
For going for a playoff spot this year.
I don't see the argument. If you want to say stand pat because you don't want to sell low on some of your assets and you want to just hope for health and hope you get into the play-in game and whatever, like, I'll stomach it, but I'll still probably be pretty critical 2 o'clock on Thursday. Because, like, one of my biggest pet peeves in sports is losing assets for nothing.
Yeah, no, you've gone that way about Vooch. And you went that way about Zach last year.
Yeah, and just in general, it's just bad business. Yeah. I thought they were going to trade baseball.
Contreras.
It's a little different because of the...
Now there's a comp pick, and the comp pick makes the baseball thing different.
But in the sports where there isn't, it just... it bothers me, man. You can't fence ride. You need to maximize assets in either direction. Whichever direction that is.
And you need to be, I agree, obviously, in general. And in this situation, I've been thrown out there, does Arturas have the confidence of Michael Reinsdorf? Like, is he going to be allowed another bite at the apple or another time to mold a team and build a core if he punts on this one and sells? And the same would be, like, if he, here's the thing. If you're buying to try and make a playoff series and give yourself some playoff games for a little revenue or a little relevance or interest, that's what it's going to feel like. If they do a really mediocre buy, it's going to feel like kind of protecting a vision that I think we all agree has failed. You know, maybe it's Lonzo's injury that made it fail, but it has failed. This vision has failed for last year and for this year. And buying to support that is gonna, I think, would feel very, very pointless.
It would just be so weird. Like, if you somehow acquired, like, a young piece who was under contract for a couple of years who was a rim protector.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, that is at least a thing that is going to be valuable on next year's Bulls team. But what assets are you giving up to acquire something like that?
Yeah.
You know, like, you don't have many draft picks. You don't have many, like, unprotected firsts, no. You know, because of the Orlando trade. So I don't see...
You're digging yourself a bigger hole if you do anything like that.
Right. And, like, I get it. This team needs a point guard. Okay. But they needed a point guard 2 years ago. It's like that scene in Major League. He should have been on the team 2 years ago. He was 4 years ago then.
Uh-huh.
Like, you... Vooch is just older than when you put this thing together. DeRozan is older than when you put this thing together. I just don't. Buying would blow my mind.
What? All right. So, what if it is? You mentioned Mike Conley, who's still out there in Utah, even though the team has been massively restructured, and he did sign a max deal at one point, and he's obviously, how old is Mike Conley now? 34, something like that. Maybe even older. Dude went to college with Greg Oden. He was feeding Greg Oden.
35.
Greg Oden at Ohio State. So, but that is a very solid, smart, capable veteran point guard who has obviously turned into a shooter and scorer enough. If he came in, would the whole team function that much better that they could do anything? Like, what is, if put the perfect point guard, perfect available point guard in there? Because I remember just a few years ago, as you do, when Rajon Rondo functioning as a point guard even made the three alphas work for a brief couple of moments
in
time.
Yeah, they probably would have won that playoff series if he didn't get hurt.
Right?
Yeah.
And that was an 8-1.
Which was so weird.
So weird!
One of the weirder three games
so
of basketball
weird.
I've ever watched.
Now, I think Jalen Brunson is a great player, but I didn't think he was going to be this good as a Knick. And if you're watching that game and watching that game over the weekend with Philly, and J.J. Redick is talking about this whole Julius Randle looks better with Jalen Brunson. This whole Knicks thing is functioning better.
Yeah, but that guy's not available, right?
I know. But what I'm saying is point guard. Put point guard who can score in this team, who can shoot the three, a poor man's Lonzo or whatever you got.
Yeah.
The best thing you could put.
Yeah, Mike Conley is like...
super poor.
Yeah, he's 35.
I know.
Same thing with Dragic, right? These are not defensive players.
It's not about the future.
So just looking at the standings, because you got it. You have to be ruthless if you're in that job. The GM job is a dispassionate one.
Mm.
Coach, you can be passionate. GM, you have to be dispassionate. What is the absolute best case scenario for this Bulls team?
Six,
right? They're not getting to five. Cleveland is 6.5 games up on them. They're the 5 seed right now. Now, if you want to say that Brooklyn is going to completely tank and fall and, you know, they're going to trade Kevin Durant and completely implode, okay, but you're 6.5 games behind Brooklyn. Like, even if they tank, it's hard to make up 6.5 games in the NBA in 30 games, right? The Bulls have played 52 games. They got 30 games left.
And if they inserted a very solid point guard and the team functioned better, do you think they could do that? I don't think it's a worthwhile goal in general.
I think the absolute best case scenario is making up 3 games in the standings and jumping 3 teams, which is getting to the 6th seed and jumping Atlanta, New York, and Miami. That is the absolute best case scenario.
That feels absurd.
Feels like a 5% chance. You don't squander future assets for 5% chance at losing a first round playoff series. You know, the upside is just flatly not there. And so, and again, none of the names other than Kyrie would be massive buys. They'd be middling moves, like in either direction. But a middling move in the direction of adding to this core, I'd rather do a middling move in the other direction. Because, like, you're not getting anything. So if you said, oh, you can only get, a protected first from a good team for Vooch. So, like, you know, best case scenario is that's like the 25th pick in the draft in 2 years. Take it. You're not winning anything. So I don't know. The whole thing comes with the caveat of these reports might all be completely bogus because Arturas doesn't leak anything.
Yes.
And there might be a fire sale that shocks a bunch of people on Thursday because people didn't see him doing this hyper-aggressive build.
Nobody saw that coming. So I think we have to – that's the most important caveat. We have no idea what's going to come. We got to admit that.
And Zach Lowe said that that people around the league don't know what the Bulls are going to do, and so fine. But the names that are being linked here suggest to me small, short-term ads. Which is insane.
I think I hear what you're saying.
I would love to hear them defend that.
I don't believe that he's an idiot.
I don't either.
Right, that's the thing. I don't believe that he's an idiot. I hope he's not working in fear of ownership and wanting to deliver the playoff matchups, the playoff appearances that he promised when they made those deals for that deal for Vooch. You know, so I worry about that factor a little bit, but I don't think the man is an idiot. So,
but then he has
but that doesn't mean he has to sell on everything. It means he ought to sell on Vooch instead of getting nothing. So that would be if he doesn't see something he likes out there. He really still should be selling Vooch for whatever he can get. Sadly, I think it's gotten to that. And I wasn't there a few weeks ago even, but looking at how I don't trust them, I am. But, like, the idea of trading a middling piece like Derrick Jones Jr. and or Andre Drummond for something like Conley. Like, if you trade middling pieces like that, I don't even know that Utah gives a crap about that or wants that.
I understand what you're saying.
But you say trade a middling piece
or two.
Your
crap for their crap,
right.
And you hope that the crap fits a little bit
right.
better.
That maybe I bring in. So that's not really a buy if he does that. That is fiddling with the chemistry and seeing if he can get a little more something with crap for crap.
I agree.
And I think we might see a trade or two like that.
Okay.
That's one option.
Yeah, it is. Listen, if they don't give up like real draft capital and the ads are also like rental pieces that don't take up cap space for next year or whatever, well then you can only be so mad about it. It's a bad team making minimal trade moves that won't move the needle in any, you know what I mean? If that's the type of move they do, we'll be done talking about the trade deadline by 2:30. And it happens at 2:00. You know what I mean?
People still be angry that they didn't blow it up. I think people would be angry that they didn't go further because at this point, that is the most sensible big picture look at it would be to swallow your pride and blow up what you tried to build because it didn't work.
Yeah, and listen, the trades have to be there. I don't know, are there going to be 3 trades or are there going to be 23 trades, right? Like, I don't know how active of a market this is going to be. A bunch of teams are trying to tank for a generational draft prospect. So, you know, it might be a quiet deadline, and trades might not materialize. Like, again, it's different sport, different rules of comp and all that stuff, but, like didn't materialize for Wilson Contreras. So we'll have to judge it based on, like, volume of moves in the market. Do teams trade for people with the type of skill set of DeRozan and Vooch and those types of guys? But the Kyrie thing made no sense.
Well, but people take swings in this league, man. They take big effing swings. And that's why it's an amazing league in terms of news, activity, trades, signings, because Dallas doing that is crazy. And they've dug themselves an incredibly deep hole if they don't sign Kyrie. And the whole thing might not work, obviously. And I have serious doubts, as do a lot of people, about whether it's going to work. But people still take freaking swings in this league. And if the Bulls aren't a team taking a swing right here when Arturas has shown he likes to take swings, that'll feel like a weird missed opportunity.
You mean not taking the swing on Kyrie?
Yeah, no, not taking the swing on rebuilding. Like, dump something big. You got some big things to offer. DeMar should be the second option as a scorer for a playoff team at age 33. He absolutely should be at this point if it's not going to work out the way that you had intended here.
Yeah, I would like to think that. I think that these pieces are individually kind of valuable and together don't fit. So in theory, you should be able to find a place where they fit and get something of value in return.
Right.
Lakers, I agree with
Lakers
that.
Are desperate after missing out on Kyrie. LeBron is admitting publicly, I'm a little upset we didn't get a talent like that. So what's it going to take to do to get Zach to L.A.? What's it really going to take? And if you're the Bulls, you've been hesitant about the 2027 pick and the 2029 pick. Hell, that's what Dallas just did in the Kyrie trade, right?
Yeah, it
picks way down that way down the road. An asset is an asset, right?
Yeah. Well, listen, you just need them.
Yes, you need them.
You can acquire them and then trade them again if you are ready to win sooner. So yeah, if the Bulls got unprotected 2027 or 2029 draft picks, fine, great.
It just moved as part of the Kyrie deal.
Yeah, that would be great. Because they need to stockpile those things, even if they want to think that they can win next year if Lonzo's healthy. Fine, believe that all you want, but you need to recoup the draft picks that you gave up so that you can then make trades to support. If the next good Bulls team is in 2024, 2025, then just turn around and trade those draft picks that you just acquired. But like a short-term step back to hopefully have more assets for the next year or two to then be buyers again. Because I think that there's a scenario, again, where Patrick Williams gets more opportunity, takes a leap, Zach LaVine is a flawed player on a big deal, but is a top 10 scorer in the league when healthy, which is what he was for the first 50 games of last year.
Mm-hmm.
And Lonzo comes back. And those are three huge ifs, which is why they're not in a good position. But like, if those things started breaking your way, you could, in theory, add a piece or two that fits to that core and be a real playoff team. Not a championship contender, likely.
Yeah.
But like, trading for the disgruntled star is a tried and true move in the NBA. I just can't believe that the Mavericks were willing to do it for
3 months
for that star who they probably have to extend when you have one of the two best assets or three best assets in the entire league.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the Mavericks aren't desperate. That's why trading for Kyrie, like anti-Semitic, weird-ass Kanye Kyrie, like trading for that, that's like what a desperate team does. The Lakers are desperate. Because LeBron's old.
Yeah, Dallas didn't need to be that desperate.
I'm really surprised that they. I know they've wanted to pair Luka with his running mate for, you know, they tried it with Porzingis, and I know they've been very desperate to find him
right.
A real two.
But on the basketball sense here, the two facilitators, the two wing guys here, you know, with Luka, although Luka can obviously do anything.
I think offensively it makes plenty of sense. Kyrie's a great catch and shoot player. So he can take some of the scoring burden off Luka when Luka sits, and they cannot be a terrible offense, and he can space the floor for him and catch and shoot three. I think offensively it makes plenty of sense, but defensively they're going to suck, and he's a crazy person.
Yeah, that's the thing.
Like you can't rely on Kyrie.
The human side of a partnership between Kyrie and Luka is fascinating when you consider who Luka is, where he's from, and the magnitude of what he is now in the NBA and the respect that he deserves and the good nature that he seems to go about his business with, for the most part, the subtext of it. Because those two guys have to together. Kyrie has to be like genuinely well-intentioned and vulnerable and human to make it work, you know? And I can't imagine that.
No.
I cannot imagine Kyrie going in there and being like, all right, what do we got to do to make this work? I know he did it with LeBron, but LeBron was LeBron, and it was combustible.
Kyrie at that point, like,
wasn't
insane.
Was not emboldened to this level.
He didn't have like fully developed toxic internet brain. He like was like kind of like a cute flat earther, like on the cusp.
Right.
Like he hadn't like completely fallen down the wormhole yet.
Now I saw somebody tweet that he accepted the trade to Dallas so he could go solve the JFK assassination.
Yeah, great.
Which I think
is funny.
Is funny.
yeah.
And actually funny. And actually, I mean, maybe he's into it.
We don't know if it was Lee Harvey Oswald or our whole big thing there. Remember.
Look, that's still true. It's still true.
You kind of got blown away.
Yeah. Kyrie's trying to solve it.
I told my teachers, I was outside the schoolyard. I told my teachers that JFK had just been shot, and they said if that was true, I could have a week off of school.
Great story, Shane.
That is a great story.
Les, what happened, unfortunately, to President Kennedy in 1963?
That was November 22nd, and we don't know if it was Lee Harvey Oswald or a whole big thing there, but he kind of got blown away.
He did. He did get blown away.
Super sensitive way to describe it.
Here's a tip. If you ever go to the JFK Museum, the Assassination Museum, which is in the old book depository, and it's fascinating, I have done this, and then you leave and you see a bunch of dudes like selling stuff off to the side there near the grassy knoll, and they open their binders and they say, look at these pictures. Don't do it. Okay? Don't look at the pictures because it is the brain of the president. It is autopsy pictures and all the details. Guys are like, would you like to buy an 8x10 glossy of the president's brain from the autopsy table? No, sir, I would not.
How many of those a day do you think they sell?
I don't know.
Weird business.
What a life, huh? They're over there selling the stuff that the museum will not sell. They had a bunch of other stuff. You know, like weird, crazy-ass mementos.
I'd rather buy Streetwise.
People are just grifters, man.
Dude, that's a life.
Anything to make a buck.
Showing up every day. Honey, I'm going to work. I'm going to sell autopsy photos at the JFK Museum again.
Well, it's not work if you love what you do, you know?
Yeah.
Christine was so disgusted. She's like, that museum was an amazing experience. I understand. I have reverence for the whole thing. Why are you showing me a brain?
Yeah, I could see how that would really put a damper on the whole experience of the museum where someone got blown away.
Well, it's a good point.
So what do you think, Speaks? You were there. What do you think about the whole deal?
Yeah, now that I've been there, I think it was the mob, frankly. I've thought this for a long time.
Which mob member?
It's a powerful.
Mob.
Yeah.
It was
Charlie J. Matt Hawker.
I'm not sure.
Outsider Brad.
Yeah, it could have been Outsider Brad. You know, it's
Moist Daddy Ranji.
Audio ID kid.
It was Parkins' mic stand.
It might have been.
M-O-B.
It was the mob.
It was either Parkins' mic stand or Sam Giancana. One of those two.
Makes sense.
I think it was the mob. I don't buy the Cuban connection. But yeah, my dad did a lot of research, a lot of books in my house growing up.
Him and Kyrie doing their own research. Yeah. It's dangerous.
My dad never once got traded to the Mavericks.
You've got sports jealousy. You make the case next on The Score.
People are jealous, man.
Thanks for hanging out. Parkinson Spiegel on The Score. Texters kind of all over the map, I feel like, on confidence in the Bulls and what they will or will not do. I'm not out on Arturas yet. I'm not trying to overreact to reporting that is not substantiated yet. I will just, like you, I do not assume him to be stubbornly naive or basketball dumb or anything like that. Mm-hmm. I just don't think he's going to throw bad, like good money after bad and keep going down this path if it's proven that it's not going to be good. So I expect them to sell. How much they sell, I don't know, because I think that's the obvious move on the chessboard. But we'll see. But I know you've got some sports jealousy within the NBA.
It's just everywhere you look, there seems to be teams taking big swings. Sometimes they work and sometimes they don't. But they don't stand pat. And they try to mold a winner. And big deals get made time and time and time again. The league is freaking bananas. And I know we just had one. We just had that like an excitement of Vooch 2 years ago.
Yeah.
And then the free agent signings. And that was exciting. But this idea of them standing pat or not selling here while everybody is selling all around is driving me crazy. That's one level of jealousy. The other is young, viable assets. What the hell are the best Bulls young, viable assets?
Patrick Williams.
And Ayo Dosunmu coming out of his deal.
Yeah, I mean.
Sooner rather than later.
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, this year.
And Coby White coming out of his deal sooner rather than later. Have those guys, they've shown a little development, but like.
But those are not, those are not cornerstone assets.
No.
The only one who can be still potentially, if you're talking about young, cheap guys, is Patrick Williams.
Right.
And that's no sure thing
like,
at all.
Like even something like Dorian Finney-Smith, what, 24-year-old 3-and-D wing that Dallas had?
Yeah.
That's a legit, viable 3-and-D player who's going to fit any number of ways with any number of teams. Will probably play in the league, what, another 7 years?
At least, yeah.
Something like that. Like, you know he's got a role. And maybe Coby and Ayo will age into even that conversation.
I still think that is Patrick Williams at a minimum. The guy's shooting over 40% from three and showing a ton of defensive ability, and he's only 21.
I agree.
And he's blocked on the offensive side of the floor, especially.
I agree that I think it's very safe. It's very safe to project Patrick Williams as a 3-and-D guy. But that's your number four pick overall, and that's the only thing you got. Really.
Yeah, and I hope that that's the floor for Patrick Williams. I think that there is the potential for a more well-rounded offensive game. You know what I mean? So I hope that that's the floor for him, and I think some of it for him is going to still be the, I don't want to say work ethic because I don't know the man, but like motor. It seems like his motor and aggression has been questioned by his teammates and coaches.
It's maturity.
And is not consistent. Yeah,
it's one of the reasons I like Javon Hargrave, even though he's a little older, is that those were questions early in his career, and then he answered him. He figured it out, and he answered him. And
yeah.
So, you know, once you – like, a lot of times you get lucky with the second or third home for somebody like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, and so I don't even know if it's – I don't even know if it's maturity, and I don't want to quibble with you, but, like, just – the guy was a bench player in college.
I think you like to quibble.
I do enjoy quibbling. But I'm just saying, like, even I don't know that he's immature. I think from what I've heard about him is that he is, like, such a team-first guy and kind of mild-mannered.
Yeah.
That he's like, oh, okay, is it better for me to come off the bench? I'll come off the bench. Whereas, like, the alpha would be like, no, screw that. Like, I'm going to earn this starting job. And he just, like, defers. He's like, oh, wow, that's DeMar DeRozan, mm-hmm. and that's Zach LaVine. And he just kind of... we'll go five trips up and down the floor without touching the basketball. And it's like, no, man, you gotta demand the ball. You gotta crash the boards. You gotta be aggressive. You gotta put your body on somebody. You gotta call for the ball. And he kind of ball watches a little too much. So I hope the aggression comes for him, and it hasn't yet.
I hope so too. So I'm envious of the swings that teams are gonna make and that they can make. I'm envious of the young assets that other teams have. And then I also just watched, like I mentioned earlier, watching the Knicks and seeing the way that Jalen Brunson like controls that team and the way they flow and how everything is working better. And I know that's not like the Knicks are, you know, blowing the world away, but they've figured it out, you know, especially in recent weeks. And I just like a really good point guard, man, a really good point guard. And so Lonzo's absence and seeing Brunson and seeing that free agent signing, maybe why couldn't we just sign somebody who stayed healthy? Why couldn't have that worked? So like, there's just lots of, I'm looking around the league and everywhere, hell man, the Sixers were a freaking mess. And now the Sixers are 36-17 and Embiid and Harden are comfortable. And like that whole thing is working. And I don't like being a thing that feels like a mess, the Bulls feeling like a mess, and feels locked into some kind of middle that might be acceptable on the big picture, and it shouldn't be acceptable.
Yeah, I acceptable is tough because I don't know that these guys are in any trouble with their jobs like we talked about last week. And I don't think that they should be. It's so early in their tenure here. I just think that they are in a situation where they're not bad enough to get a top pick. They don't even own their first round pick. So if they do miss the playoffs, their first round pick is overwhelmingly likely to just go to Orlando and be somewhere between the fifth pick and the 10th pick in the draft. And then a bad trade will only get worse. Like if there was a, way to hit a button right now and get into the top four of this draft and just hope for lottery luck to get Wembanyama or the consolation prize of Scoot, the next Ja Morant style, hyper athletic, super fast, aggressive, high flying point guard. I'd sign up for that right now, but they're too good for that. They won a couple of games in a row. They've got veterans. They think they could be in the playoffs. They're the middle.
Yeah, they're middle. Like,
they're the injured, old, no draft capital middle.
Kind of
a bad place to be.
It feels like a very, very bad place to be. Texture says the Bulls are just following the Nuggets model. Nuggets never tanked or tore their team down. Even in the Carmelo trade, they stayed a playoff team. They lucked into Jokic as a star, but the core Nuggets build has always been to stay relevant. It's interesting.
You know, guys, on that Victor Wembanyama character,
yeah,
you know I wasn't really in on him, but I just remembered that Flula Borg said that he's the next Dirk Nowitzki. So I am up for the tank for Wembanyama.
It's media night tonight.
Good.
Is Flula Borg at media night for the Super Bowl?
If he's not, then he's not. They're not using him properly.
Somebody's doing it wrong.
Somebody needs to pay him to be there.
I could not agree more.
Yeah, and it should be us.
It should be us. If he's not there,
I have
$4
to give you Flula.
You do? Well, I mean, Phoenix is not far from L.A., so that we know Flula's there.
Like, get him there.
I'll chip in on a train ticket? Bus ticket?
Yeah, I think he would appreciate a flight, though.
Hit him up.
Yeah.
Because this would be a really good... he should be walking Super Bowl media night, improving with all of those people.
Technically, we saved a ton of money by Trent Dilfer ghosting me, and that was—I was never told that we could not spend that money. So there should be quite a few $1,000s still in the pot.
Well, all right, you call Flula. We have a Trent Dilfer conundrum as well on this show. You know. We got to figure something out.
All right, well, we will do this on the other side because Trent Dilfer is being taken wildly out of context on the internet, we think.
Disagree, I hate him.
So we're going to...
That's what I'm saying.
We're going to perpetuate that problem for him next on The Score.
Trent Dilfer joins us on behalf of our good friends at Panini America. How are you, Trent?
Good, Dan. How about yourself?
I was talking to another radio show. He's talking to another Dan. I don't like it. Don't like it at all. Trent Dilfer, we thought we had something. Then you took the job at UAB. Then you started ghosting us. You introduced us to the term buckets. We want to know how you feel like Justin Fields finished the season. I mean, I knew what a bucket was before Trent Dilfer, but like...
That was my concern there for a second.
A quarterback like, bucket.
Wow, you never heard about buckets before,
Sheltered. Very sheltered.
I was going to say.
North Shore.
I mean, what do you take back to the well to get fresh drinking water?
Yeah, exactly.
Buckets?
That's right.
Yeah, so... It's not good. We don't know if we're ever going to talk to him again. So he's kind of our enemy.
Right, Shane, like nothing. Just flat out nothing from Trent, right?
Nothing.
That's amazing.
But not that many asks from you.
Three.
Yeah. You had pride and you wanted to stop asking.
Yeah.
After three. Yeah.
Three's a lot. That's tough to keep going after three.
Three non-responded text messages.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good for you.
Is that enough for a producer to declare ghosted and
abandoned? I don't know what the number is.
All right, maybe let's not define me by my job and define me as a person with feelings. This isn't about the job. This is about not getting a response from someone who I thought I had something with.
Oh, God.
But it's not a date.
It doesn't matter.
It's
it doesn't
a professional
matter.
Something.
It doesn't matter. I got him more money than he deserved
wow.
for the hits.
Wow. Here we go.
Yeah.
Here we go, Jim.
Yeah.
Here we go, Tony.
Trent.
Here we go.
And his weird assistant.
you don't have to trash him yet. Just in case.
Yeah, because if he texted us tomorrow and said, hey, can I come on to promote
absolutely.
Paninis?
Absolutely.
Well, he's not promoting Paninis. Panini is
a... I know, it's a card company.
We love high-end grilled cheeses. We love high-end.
I thought it was like the Jimmy John's of Paninis. Like, that sounds like a great restaurant.
Yeah,
maybe I should put one in the bedway.
Let's do it. Like, if he wanted to come on tomorrow and talk about his Paninis, we would have him on. So let's not bury everything about it personally.
We would. But it's clear that while we thought we had a connection with Trent conversationally, Shane really did think that they had a connection.
I thought we were buddies.
Textually speaking, you guys had established a thing. I text him, he texts me back. That's how we roll. It's what we do.
So there's a clip going around the internet.
It's my kink. I'm sorry. Getting text back. It's my kink.
What?
No kink shaming on this show.
Let's just hear it with no context, because that's how the internet is framing our guy, Trent Dilfer.
Modern day game does not impress me. It's super easy when you don't get hit as a quarterback, and when you can't reroute receivers, and when you can't hit guys across the middle. I love Tom Brady. I love Aaron Rodgers. I love these guys. It's not impressive. What's impressive is what they did.
All right, so...
So that's where the clip ends.
I don't know who he's talking to.
Who is cheering? Like, what Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers did is not impressive.
Not impressive.
What you all did is impressive. Yeah! Who are these people?
Linemen.
Are they cancer survivors? Are they
first responders?
Are they firefighters?
I don't know.
Offensive linemen who are also first responders.
Oh my God!
Essential heroes.
Essential heroes.
But they also play guard and tackle.
Yeah, they're not quarterbacks. They're not modern quarterbacks, because Trent is not impressed by them theoretically.
It's just such a strange applause line.
Yeah, well, because it's a comparison to whoever he's talking to. We don't know who he's talking to, and
I am not impressed.
Wait, wasn't there a Chiefs lineman that was a doctor that he left the NFL to be?
Yeah,
a doctor?
Lawrence Duvernay-Tardif. Yeah,
he was there.
Yeah,
God bless you.
Yeah, that makes sense. So a lot of people applauding.
Yeah, so we don't know who he's comparing Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers to. And we don't know who the giant crowd is in the auditorium cheering him on. Now, we could find out all those things and fill in the context for our listeners and for the public, or
we could bury him for being a hater.
Because that's what's happening.
He's getting crushed on the internet for not being impressed with Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady, and it's hilarious. But
who's this guy?
I'm not impressed by their combined 8 Super Bowls and six
White
MVPs.
Got up there after he started talking.
So, Taney, were you able to find more context?
No, I think that's appropriate.
Excellent. All right, good. Screw you, Dilfer.
Yeah.
With your cheap applause. Let's hear it one more time. This is Trent Dilfer pandering to a group of, we can only assume, first responder, essential heroes.
Cancer survivors.
By hating on Chex Notes, Aaron Rodgers, and Tom Brady.
Modern day game does not impress me. It's super easy when you don't get hit as a quarterback. And when you can't reroute receivers, and when you can't hit guys across the middle, I love Tom Brady. I love Aaron Rodgers. I love these guys. It's not impressive. What's impressive is what they did.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is.
You guys did great. But they're cheering before he says what you did is impressive. What a weird thing.
I know. Well, it's a group of people who just collectively hate Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady. Trent is speaking to them, and then he compliments them. So, hey, we're going to do a thing over here. We're going to talk about them. If you hate them, come on.
We're selling tickets. Clap. Need 10,000 people here so we can sell tickets to this thing. And
I had to expand to a second night. There's so many people that hate them.
And somebody, I just saw the pull quote going around, like, Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady are not impressive.
It's incredible.
From Trent Dilfer.
That's perfect.
And it's perfect because he got a quarterback who made the Super Bowl and won a Super Bowl as the worst player, he's legendarily thought to be the worst quarterback ever to have made a Super Bowl. So this, in Super Bowl week, has a chance to really, really hurt Trent Dilfer.
But see, if he hadn't sabotaged his relationship with us, we could have had him on.
We'd have his back.
Clarified the quotes, had his back, provided some context, and helped him out here. But now he's just got to swim in these internet streets, cesspool.
He can do it now with Ryan Russillo or Dan Patrick, which objectively are bigger names.
Hey, man, whoever likes paninis. Multiple texters telling me that there's a 30 for 30 about the 2000 Ravens, and it was at a reunion for that team. Those are Ravens fans doing the cheering.
Right, so what did they do that was impressive?
2000, they were older, and they had it harder. They ran, they walked uphill both ways to class.
Famously.
I believe.
Even though...
I like to picture the crowd as just like, we're talking about everybody hating Aaron Rodgers. It's just like Dan Bernstein and his 28 stand-up comedian cousins.
Oh my God.
A lot of them.
I remember, was it the Bors and Bernstein, I forget, it was the 15th anniversary?
What?
And Hub's there too.
As a weird laugher.
No, it's someone who hates Aaron Rodgers.
Oh, yeah.
Danny!
He laughs at weird things.
Rihanna's playing the Super Bowl. Yeah.
I get it. Both work.
So it's either Ravens fans or it could be the National Pediatric Oncologist Firefighters for the Troops.
That's a good text.
That's funny.
That's a good text.
Oh, that's good. Oh. It's some group of people who are inherently more impressive than Brady and Rodgers. So is it fair then? Is it out of context? Is it fair to take him on this when he's just talking to the Ravens? He's literally saying...
That doesn't matter. I don't want to know what it is.
Okay.
I don't want to know what it is.
Sorry about that.
It's the Pediatric Oncologist Firefighter Cancer Survivors for the Troops who hate Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady, famously. We have another out-of-context audio situation. Our boss, Ryan Porth.
Ryan Porth.
Mitch's number two. Mm. Our assistant program director came to us from Nashville, Tennessee, and Boomer Esiason was on with us this hour. We are now starting misinformation, which is fun, because Ryan Porth apparently texted the old show in Nashville what Boomer said to us, and this happened.
Stillman and Company live out on Radio Row here, presented by Social Furniture.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
I do have one quick little brief.
Kill it, Danny. What? What are you mad about?
That show gets to go to Radio Row.
I know.
Hey, we're up here live over there at Radio Row. Brought to you by.
Hey, it's me, radio host guy, with my radio host voice.
Right.
Let's talk about sports.
Yes. Who are these guys?
Social Furniture. Thank you so much to the social people of Selby Furniture. Don't really have a store.
Thank
just
you,
sounded
Hank Stram,
good.
For showing up here today.
Wait. What company do they? How do they go? What do they do? What's their connection to the Super Bowl?
I don't know, man.
Stillman and Company live out on Radio
God,
Row here,
sick.
Presented by Social Furniture. So I do have one quick little brief Aaron Rodgers break, and then we'll get back into your Aaron Rodgers text, because again, Mike Sando in The Athletic saying that an unnamed, I feel like an unnamed, where I didn't say I feel like. That an unnamed league executive feels like Aaron Rodgers is best fit is in Tennessee. And hold on, I think we have incoming here, Ian.
Okay.
Okay. Here you go.
Dynamite
this
dropping.
Just in from Ryan Porth at 670 in Chicago. Quote, this text came in at 1:46 p.m.
Oh, my God.
Boomer Esiason just said on our station that he likes the Titans as a destination for Rodgers. I will send y'all the audio.
Oh,
so, Ian, be
Boomer.
On the lookout for that.
Okay, Boomer. Boomer's a legit sure guy, I think.
No.
I like Boomer.
Okay.
All right. That he likes it as a destination.
But did you notice
Boomer's
the one gold item from this that we are going to get so much mileage out of?
This just in from Ryan Porth.
This just in from Ryan Porth.
Ryan Porth. Ryan Porth of Shane Reardon.
Oh, man.
This just in from Ryan Porth.
I'll send y'all the audio.
Yeah. I'll send y'all the audio. That's good producing by Porth
for
his old job.
That's good code switching by Porth to drop in the y'all.
Yeah, it's a different kind of code switching.
Yeah, as he texts
the old
show.
Double kid.
Yeah, you're kind of a double kid, weren't you? Mm-hmm. Start dropping your R's on the weekends.
You were, weren't you? Oh, my God. I'm just so happy for that show that they get to go to Arizona for the week. That's great.
Stillman and Company live out on Radio Row here, presented by Social Furniture.
Stillman and Company? Who is Stillman and Company?
Who's Social Furniture? And why do they want to send us?
Stillman and Company.
Stillman and Company.
I think it's Stillman and Company, but it did sound like Stillman and Company.
Stillman and Company.
I don't think Ryan will be sending this segment back to them.
Oh, send it.
Yeah.
I'll send it myself to Stillman and Company.
I want to steal their sponsors and send us to the Super Bowl. That's what I want to do.
His name is Skippita Cappity. Skippita Cappity.
Oh, let's hear that one more time.
Skippita Cappity.
Skippita Cappity live out on Radio Row here, presented by Social Furniture.
Oh,
so
oh,
I do
they
have
deserve
one
it.
Quick little brief, Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, we could.
This just in from Ryan Porth.
We couldn't find Social Furniture. Have they heard this show?
Yeah,
Social Furniture.
I don't know. That's mildly infuriating.
Empty segment there at Radio Row, huh? Don't love that.
Yeah, don't love that. There wasn't a 1975 Steeler walking around that you could put on to talk about toothpaste.
God, that was very specific.
I mean, I have been.
But makes all the sense in the world.
Yeah, that's what happens.
But now I'm picturing it. There's Jack Ham for Crest.
That's exactly. That's how it works.
Yeah, you really took me right there.
You're welcome. See, that's why we would be so good at Radio Row.
Yeah.
Spiegs. Watching sports over the weekend out of obligation and loved something that most people hate. He is our good vibes provider. Next on The Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.